Hello, this is Richard.
Good morning, Richard. This is the CIB board.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing well, thanks. We're just about ready to start, so stay tuned.
Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Community Impact Board. We appreciate your effort to be here this morning. As is our custom, we'll start off with a staff greeting before we begin our formal meeting by turning the time over to Candace Powers, our fund manager. Candace?
Thank you. In case you didn't know, today's October 1st. The first funding meeting of CIB's first trimester in fiscal year 2016. The next CIB review meeting is scheduled for Thursday. This is exciting. November 5th at the Red Cliffs Lodge in Moab. There is a page in the red folder concerning that meeting. If you will complete that page and return it to Chris Reed, we can proceed with the negotiations. On page 1-1-1, the projects for board review today are listed. They're the ones that are indicated in yellow. There are 28 priority projects that the board has already looked at and reviewed. There were three projects for special consideration: the housing and community development request for funding for the rural planning group will be heard in November. They were gracious in standing down, but they have provided you some brochures and things that they have completed. They've been doing wonderful things around the state, but we will hear from them in November. The third special consideration is for a change of scope, so they're not asking for any money. That's Tridella Point. They do have a remaining balance in an award that they received for water system improvements, and now they would like to use that money for their system to provide a maintenance and storage building. But that's a board decision, so CIB or the staff could not make that decision. It's a board decision. The fund summary is on page 1-1-2, where you'll notice that as of 9/21, those are the balances. If everything that is on the list is funded as moved to the priority list, that balance indicates a little bit lean, but the staff will not allow the CIB balance to go into the red. So, you know, there is a little bit of a lag time for funding these projects as far as contracts and getting the balance out. But the board should be aware of that, make note of that, and do their due diligence as they always do. This fund is populated by what happens on federal land, so it's kind of a trickle right now. The revenue will be watched. We'll keep you posted on how that runs. New project applications are due today. I have printed out a tentative list. Since today was the due date, we'll let you see what has come in so far. It's being passed around right now. These are the applications as of last night. Today is the due date at close of business, so we expect that this probably isn't the way the final look will be. In the red folder, it's always fun to have a red folder full of good things. There is the Rainbow Revenue and Awards. That now is it matches the legislative report, which is already out, and you've received a copy at your chair, so I hope you give that a look. We don't mail it out to the legislature anymore, but it is on our website for access. Do you want to remind anyone who wants to look and see what has happened in the past 5 years? The green sheet has a listing of meetings that the CIB board has held out of town historically. I noticed that most of our meetings have been in Salt Lake. That's just to stimulate your thought processes if you want to have a meeting besides the Moab meeting in another location. Of course, the policy meeting is always somewhere. out there. So we'll be talking about that, but I think somebody's... A blue sheet has been prepared, which is a listing of prior CIB projects for a specific application that wants to be reconsidered. That is just a tool for the board to utilize as that application is discussed. A yellow and white document follows that, which is just the cliff notes for the Hilldale application, which I emailed to you, but that I didn't want to print out the whole thing just in case you did, but I thought maybe you needed the absolutes, and so that's what that is. The page with stars, we already talked about that. Please fill it out. It's the information page for Red Cliffs Lodge. The white page at the very back in your red folder comprised the triannual reports for the rural regional planning project or program that we facilitate in the AOGs. They are required to just let you know what they've been doing, and that's what that is. That's their report to you, the board. The list of applications are, as the board reviewed them, they are listed there as they were moved forward by the board at the previous three review meetings. Projects 27 and 28 have requested time before the board at this meeting. Mary's Vale is requesting to discuss a revised funding package. The applicant has omitted a few items, as you can see in that application. The revised project scope I've crossed out, and I got as close as I could tell by what they described, but those are questions to ask Mary's Vale. It's still a good project. They're asking for a similar amount as the board awarded, but they'd like to do the whole project. Project 28 is Grand County. They're also requesting time on this agenda. They appear to have reduced the funding request by some, and the board authorized a funding package, which, you know, historically that's the way the board has authorized jail funding. The applicant has looked at their processes and their funding, and they've come back with an alternate request, and they'd like to discuss that. Special consideration, we skip past the RPGs, not because they're not ever so wonderful and they've done good things, but we had an emergency application come in from Hilldale, and if you've looked at the news or been aware of the news, you realize that Hilldale has some issues that probably need some attention. This board will review some of those problems. It is, of course, up to the board to decide if this is the direction, if this is the source that they should seek, but there might be some portion of it that is absolutely emergency for funding today, and the board should discuss that with the applicant. And then the last special consideration is Tridella Point. I referred to that just a little bit. They will discuss what they want to do with the remainder of funding, and it is up to the board's discretion to allow that. There are items for board discussion, and when we get to that point, there's a couple of handouts that I have to provide for the board, but we'll do that when we come to that point in the meeting. Thank you, and I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Candace. We appreciate the wonderful work that you do. Again, good morning and welcome. As Candace pointed out, this is our trimester funding meeting, and we are short about $1 million due to the cost of a lot of the resources that we depend on for funding, as well as the lack of leasing that's going on currently on federal property. So as we go through the list, we do need to look for some areas where we can try and make that up. Before we go any further, probably be good to do some introductions. And so to shake things up a little bit, Nate, we'll start with you and work around.
Hi, I'm Nate. I'm always a visitor to drinking water. Gail Gardner, staff to the board.
Tom Roberts with the Attorney General's Office. I act as legal advisor to the board.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Jim Mattson, Kane County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments.
Claudia Jarrett, Sanpy County Commissioner, representing 6th County AOG.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Keith Heaton with the Community and Housing Development Division.
Candace Powers, staff to the board.
Tamara Kohler, Housing and Community Development.
Chris Reed, staff to the board.
Nagi Zinati from sunny St. George, representing UDOT Commission.
Good morning. Mike McKee, representing Uinta County. Good to be here. Thank you.
Steve Farrow, Wasatch County Councilman, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Greg Galecki, Water Quality Board.
And Richard, are you on the phone?
Richard Ellis, State Treasurer, calling in.
You kind of sound like someone from far above because it's through the speaker system here, and it kind of sounds kind of ominous. And Bill, would you like to introduce yourself? Thank you. We're using a different recording system today, so more so than even before, it's important for the board to speak into the microphone because that's how it's being picked up on the recording. So make sure you just give that thing a great big kiss. Commissioner McKee?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if we could consider something this morning. What I'm wondering about is, as you've indicated, depending on how we do this, if we were to just take it by the paper itself, we're close to $1 million short. However, as Candace pointed out, a lot of it's in timing and how we do things. I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding anything, but I would like to be able to fund these projects today. We've gone through this. I would love to be able to fund these. I might be out of order here, but I believe on this rural planning grant, from what I've understood, is I believe that you're okay for money right now and could probably, you know, we could probably bump it to the next, even to the next month we needed to or the next quarter. If that's correct, it makes this meeting here a lot easier. And so I'm wondering if we might indulge to have them come up, and if that's the case, I think it makes our meeting a lot easier. If that would be my request, if we could do that.
I'm not sure what the request is to have them come up. We've taken their application off of this agenda to make up for the million, $1 million.
I missed the memo. I apologize.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Life is easier. Okay.
They voluntarily withdrew.
Thank you.
But we're still short $1 million even with that withdrawal.
Yeah, we're still almost $2 million.
Right. Okay.
Chairman Heaton.
So, Keith, can I ask a question?
Yes, Richard.
I know this is somewhat out of order. It's at the end of the agenda, but my thought is having to do with any money going into the infrastructure set aside. If there are, and I know there are big projects in the scope and coming down the trail, there's a heated pipeline, there's a railroad, there's a power transmission line. If the board really intends to fund those projects, then we probably ought to decide what's our bogey to put into that fund at this funding meeting. Is it $8 million? Is it $10 million? Is it $5 million? And add that on to the million or two we're already short and fund projects to that level. If we don't think we are going to fund those projects or need to begin building a source for that, then I guess we don't need to worry about that discussion.
Yeah, there is currently $8 million sitting in that set-aside fund. Are you suggesting, Mr. Ellis, that we take $1 million out of that $8 million to fund the projects we have before us today?
No, I'm saying that we cut the projects before us today by $5 or $10 million so that we can add $5 or $10 million into that infrastructure fund if the desire of the board is to fund those projects going forward. Because if we don't put anything to the $8 million this time, there won't be money there for any of these big projects coming down the road. So from a policy perspective, if we're going to hear those projects down the road, we have to set money aside today. if our policy is that we're not going to do any more projects like that and be done with it, then let's go ahead and fund all the projects today and not worry about hearing those in the future.
Understood. Any questions or discussion on that? Commissioner Jarrett, you had a question?
Well, my thought was the same, but mine is just the opposite of Richard. I think when we set up the large infrastructure account and we swept money over into that account, I think it was always with the intent that it could be brought back at any time if we felt that it needed to fund. The whole purpose of this board was to fund rural projects. And so, you know, if there's a big project coming down, that could happen in the future. I think the ones that we know about have already been presented to the board. So it would be my recommendation that we look at that account today if in fact, we are short.
Thank you. You know, we've had a similar conversation, I think, over the last few meetings we've had, and that is the question of whether or not we are going to continue to fund things, recreational projects, municipal buildings that may or may not be necessary at this time, or if we're going to focus on larger infrastructure issues that involve transporting materials and things that are critical to this fund, basically. So there was a question on this side. Commissioner McKee?
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to echo Claudia's comments. I've always felt like that, especially when we had some really good funds coming in here, we had opportunity to do these other type of projects that we do them. But it's always been my feeling that our basic kind of projects that we've been trying to do in our communities, we try to do that. And I think, you know, decisions we make on these kind of things make a big difference in what we're able to do in our communities. I think the flooding and these different kind of things out there, the projects we've typically been doing. And I would reflect also Claudia's position. I think, you know, we've gone through a process, and if we need to pull a million out of that fund, I would hope that that's what we would do today.
Thank you. We're definitely in a different era than we were even just a few months ago. And, you know, there's no sign of it subsiding anytime soon, although you never know with those things. But we have to work with what we have to work with. So,
Mr. Potter. Okay.
Just a second, Commissioner Potter, and then we'll get to you, Mr. Ellis.
Okay, thank you.
Recognizing what the commissioners have already put forward, but I also think that there's this board has the responsibility to look at, you know, where is the impact and where will it lie into the future, and in our minimally impacted areas, what role does this board really have as far as the projects that we're seeing? We are seeing a heavy, as I addressed last time, a heavy toll on road funding, which is a statewide issue, but that goes even into some of the health care services and so forth. So I think we have to be very careful, but at the same time, we're seeing an overloading of projects that are probably not, in my eyes, deemed as essential, and a lot of it does come from non-impacted areas where mitigation is needed. So if we go down any kind of a road of trying to expand the fund and trying to do the infrastructure projects, we're going to have to be very careful when it comes to the projects we review, the engineering costs associated with them, and so forth, so that we can move forward with those projects.
Go ahead, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you. Well, I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other, but I think as a board we need to have that decision. We can't make it on a funding-to-funding cycle because I know there are county commissioners sitting around that table that want a rail line and a transmission line and heated pipelines, and I'm just saying the money's not going to be there for CIB to help on those projects. So we either decide, do we fund needs today or do we fund wants, and do we do a whole repaving of accounts at this point in time, or do we scale that back to half or a quarter of their request? And like I say, it doesn't matter to me, but I think that's a decision that we need to understand going into our decision today.
Yeah, I think there's agreement around the board that that is the case, and your philosophy will be manifest through your vote. And so as we look at each of these projects, I think we're making the determination of whether or not we are going to look to these large infrastructure projects in this time of restraint, or whether or not we're going to fully fund everything that comes before us. So appreciate that discussion. Anything more along those lines?
Relative to the sheet, help me understand, because there's still a showing the housing community development number in the total cost under special consideration. So if that's withdrawn, that doesn't change the balance?
It does, but the balance on the sheet is about $2 million approximately. And by taking the rural planning group off of this agenda, it leaves us with a deficit of about $1 million.
Okay.
And as is always, staff can juggle money between the mineral lease balance fund and the bonus fund. So we don't need to be overly concerned about that in this meeting, because they'll just make those adjustments accordingly. But we do need to come up with $1 million, because presently we are short about that much.
Mr. Chairman, you know, in light of the changing or the shrinking revenue elements that we're experiencing, it would seem that we talked about this a little bit, whether we have the ability to project to some extent. But I would think that when we meet in Moab, we probably ought to have this intramural arm wrestling so that we can deal with these questions about, you know, the applicants. So I think the applicants need certainty in terms of what they're applying for.
Correct.
And on the other hand, I think we need to come to grips with, as the comment was made, between needs and wants and what we can afford. I'd like to see us really take a look at some alternatives on that basis in Moab.
Agreed. I appreciate that discussion. Very critical as we're moving forward today and into the future. The chairman will entertain a motion on the approval of the minutes from September 3rd.
I'll move approval with one little typo correction, and that's on page 217 under Book Cliff's power line project discussion, third paragraph. Legal counsel to the board indicated that it would be helpful to insert the word to review.
I was just about to bring that up, you know.
I knew you were.
Thank you. I would second that motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Jarrett and a second by Commissioner Winterton. Any discussion? All in favor of approval as amended?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimous. Thank you. My basic intent to get through these in a somewhat timely manner is to group them approximately in groups of five. So if, as I'm going through, if you feel the need to discuss further any particular project, please interrupt me, and we'll ask the applicant to come forward and answer any questions and have the appropriate discussion. Is that agreeable?
Yes. Good.
So starting with Johnson Water Improvement District for a new office and shop building, it's a $244,000 grant. The second project is the Town of Central Valley for street improvements. Total request is $2,835,000 with a $250,000 10-year 2.5% loan and a $2,585,000 grant. Project 3, Delta City New Fire Station. Total project is $2,587,000 with a $777,000 20-year 1.5% loan and a $1,810,000 grant. Project number 4 is Fountain Green City for park improvements, including restrooms and concession area, $129,525 grant. Project number 5 is the Town of Sterling for street improvements, $300,000 grant. The chair will entertain a motion on those five projects.
I move to approve.
We have a motion from Mr. Galecki and a second from Mr. Zanotti. Any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Thank you. I think I said flavor. That was in reference to the yummy fruit. I'd like to invite the Manti City people, if they're here, to come forward to talk about the next project. As we look to try and trim some money, this project kind of jumps out at me, at least, for a couple of reasons. One, it's $3 million, which is one of the larger, and it's also recreation. which sometimes can be a little more flexible. And then I also understand from staff that there's some matching funding that isn't in place yet, and what this board does or doesn't do could impact that. So let me just describe the project for the board, and then we'll go and see if there's any questions or discussion. It's $3,072,000 CIB request with a basically 1.5% 1.5 million 30-year 1.5% loan and a 1.5% grant. So it's 50% loan, 50% grant. And if you'll introduce yourself, and then we'll go to the board for questions.
Hi, I'm Kent Barton, City Manager for Manti City.
Thank you, Kent. So my question, first of all, Mr. Barton, is what is the status of the matching fund, and how does that relate to what this board does here today?
Our request for a matching grant is for $250,000, and that foundation is waiting to determine based on getting our other funding. They've said they like to be the last dollar in. In the event that that we're unsuccessful there, we are working on some other alternatives as well. The other area is with the property that we'd like to purchase to locate this facility. We need to have the funding in place to make that happen as well.
Thank you. Questions from the board? Commissioner McKee, we'll start with you.
So, you know, this isn't about, you know, trying to hold your project back, but if the money is not really quite ready, is this one that we could hold for a month or two until it is ready and bring it back at that time? Is the money in place?
Well, this is the largest chunk of it, and this isn't yet. With the rest of it, other than $250,000, it is in place.
Go ahead. Did you have a question, Commissioner?
Which money are we talking about? I'm not seeing the 250 on my sheet.
Down to the 500.
The 250 is money from, I believe it's the Eccles Foundation?
Correct.
So that's money that they're bringing is... As
so it's not 500?
Right. Is it 250 and
on
250?
On the yellow sheet, it shows 500.
Wasn't your original request, Kent, that you were applying to Eccles for $500,000, and have you since modified that request?
We did modify it to $250,000 at their request, and we've gathered some other money since that time to make up the difference.
Those other monies that you've gathered to match to bring in that, are they city funding? Are they private funding? What are they?
A mixture of both of those.
One other question is, do you have the money to complete the project if there are shortfalls in it?
We feel like we do. There are also some parts of the project that we feel like we could scale back if need be.
I have a question. What impact would it have on the project if we were to reduce our funding at this point, or if we were to postpone funding for another 3 or 4 months?
Well, as far as reducing, I guess it would depend on how much was reduced. A reduction may kill our project. A delay would make it more difficult to get started right now with property purchases and that sort of thing. But could certainly, if need be, I guess we could look at that.
Any further questions from the board?
Keith?
Go ahead, Mr. Ellis.
Could you quantify how much reduction would kill the project for us? And you're asking for $3,072,000. What if you got $2 million, or what if you got $2.5 million? What would that do to the project?
We'd probably have to study that. and, you know, see what modifications that we could make to the project if we were to reduce it.
Is it possible to phase any parts of this project, put the soccer fields off, or ball fields, or concession stands, or you haven't looked at any of that yet?
I think lighting was one of the areas that we were looking at. As far as soccer and baseball, they would all be in the same areas. So
you mentioned land acquisition, you know, if you didn't have funding. But you have about, did I see it correctly, about $118,000 in cash? So
right.
Can you still do land acquisition is what I'm getting towards?
I think we can. I think we can do a purchase contract and that sort of thing. If, however, we don't want to commit ourselves if this project's going to be in danger in, you know, in a month or two, whenever you could give us a go-ahead.
But construction, would construction be this fall, or is it for next spring as far as construction?
I think at this point it would probably start next spring.
Commissioner McKee, you had a question?
The question I had has to do really just with process, just for my understanding. But I guess I'd always thought that the cash was a requirement. You know, if they put on there that they would need to have that. And so, do we allow any project to start spending the money without their match and their monies in place? So that's my question.
Right. And Gail, perhaps you can answer how you do that, since you're the one who distributes the funding. My understanding is that we don't distribute our, you know, if we receive an invoice, then we will only pay our portion, and it's incumbent on the applicant to pay their portion at the same time. Okay, Candace is correcting me.
This is half grant, half loan. And until all of that funding is in place, we can't close or contract for any of our money.
Right, but when it actually comes to...
Then it's all put in the escrow. Right. It will all be in the escrow, and we will refund or reimburse all invoices for the project.
Okay. Thank you. Bill?
The adjustment comes at the end of the project. If there's money left over, it comes back as great.
I guess...
In a sense, loan money goes out first, but when it's in the escrow, it's a bunch of...
Okay.
Bill, can you grab this portable mic on this table and talk into it, please? You'll have to turn it on.
Thank you, Chad.
Hello.
Just give it a minute to warm up.
What I was saying was that when we close, all the money goes into the escrow. It's dispersed out without distinction. The distinction comes at the end of the project. If there are funds left over, they come back as grant funds first. So unless there was a whole bunch of money left over, there won't be a reduction in the loan proceeds. So it's equivalent to grant money going out first, but we account for it at the end of the project, not as we're going.
The point of my question really is if we have to have the money up front, they don't have that foundation money, whatever it is, it's not really in place yet. If we were to hold this up a couple months, it wouldn't really change anything on the project if that's the way this worked. That was really the only point of my question. I'm not here to try and reduce the project or anything that way. Just simply timing and the way that we can do things to try and manage. It's only one way, or we can dip into that $1 million or whatever's the best way to do that. So.
Chairman Heaton, so let me see if I can understand this. If we requested this go on the pending list so that he has some justification or some confirmation that the project isn't dead, that it's just put on the pending list to be brought forward for funding later, and if he goes ahead because of his property acquisition and can do that with his match, Is that possibly, can you still count that as match if he goes ahead prior to his hearing it on from the pending list and still show that as his contribution to the project? So I guess I'm asking you, Kent, would that be amenable to you if we put your request for the loan and the grant on a pending list, which
when
means
you say
the project?
Priority, just because pending's a little different. I think priority keeps it at this high level.
Can we do that priority to the
on
next
pending list? It comes back. right to the. Anytime they want to come back and verify it, it's the same
okay.
thing.
All right. Okay.
It just waits for all of the questions.
Yeah. So it's put on pending, which means you can bring it back at any time when our money looks better. And in the interim, because if your issue is with your property acquisition, you can go ahead with your already identified match. Would that be amenable to?
I think that would be agreeable. We certainly understand, you know, what you're going through with an emergency request, and you know, I think we can put it back on pending if that would be helpful.
Well, I do know the issue. The issue for them really is some kind of confirmation relative to this project is a go before their private foundation will.
Right.
Release the funding. So kind of puts them in a catch-22. It's the horse before the cart or the cart before the horse, whichever, with Eccles. So, but if that's amenable to Manti, I would move that we put this, well, we ready
Commissioner
for
Potter, did you have a comment first?
I was, just before a motion comes, and this is the kind of, you know, partnership and cooperation I think that needs to be distributed or demonstrated between, you know, the board and the communities coming in. The element of the timing is obviously very essential, and also that, you know, your county and all of your communities there have taken a large amount of money out of the fund over this last 12 months. And so it's very good when, in my opinion, when an applicant can come forward and say, yes, we can do some of these things in order to make the funds, you know, stretch where they need to be. And yet accomplish from our very first discussion on how do we move things forward. So your cooperation is duly noted and appreciated.
Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner Adams.
Just for some clarification from staff maybe, is this applicant showing $160,000 in-kind for power line work, $118,000 local donation, $150,000 local in-kind, and then has the Eccles grant been reduced from $500 to $250?
This just in.
Huh?
This just in. Yes.
So they've scaled their part back by $250,000
right.
on the project already, but still asking for the same amount from CIB. Okay.
I don't think they scaled it back. I think they're getting the other $250 and other.
That's correct.
Other at the top. They're still going to have the $250 in
they'll
the project.
They'll still have the $500. It's just $250 will come from another source
right.
rather than
yeah.
All right.
Right.
All right.
And that's probably the question in regards to the cash.
Well, I certainly echo Commissioner Potter's statements that we very much appreciate your willingness to work with us today. Is there a motion at this point from the board?
I will move that the project be moved to the pending list.
Well, since it's already there, does it just stay, Tom, or do we need to?
Currently on the priority list.
Okay. All right.
It is already.
It was on the priority list. So the motion is to move it to the pending list from Commissioner Jarrett. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Galecki has the second. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Staff wanted me to make sure that you understood that you can come back any time, next month after, whatever, and we will be ready to discuss further.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Very favorably. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate everyone's cooperation in that. The next project, number 7, is San Pete County Municipal Building Authority for Fairground Area Improvements. It's $895,000 grant. Project number 8 is the.
Can I ask for a vote yes. on that now because I will need to abstain?
Absolutely. The chair will entertain a motion on the San Pete project.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion from Commissioner McKee. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Farrell. Any further discussion? Please note that Commissioner Jarrett is abstaining. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you very much. Project 8, Kane County Water Conservation District. Welcome, Representative Noel. We're happy to have you with us. The project is $875,000 total with a $350,000 30-year 1% loan and a $525,000 grant. Project number 9, Kane County Recreation and Transportation Special Service District. This is for the Sittler Roads, $139,000 grant. Project number 10, yes.
Mr. Chairman, can we handle that number 9 separately? I too will have
board.
To abstain.
Great. So we'll go back to project number 8, which was the Kane County Water Conservation District. Is there a motion to accept that as presented?
Nice question.
Yes.
On the yellow sheet, it shows that the last 5 years, Kane County's put in a minus $11 in the fund.
Yeah, they took
it. That still?
They took it back. Oh. Took some money back.
Okay.
It's really $11.
I've got $11 if you'd like.
I just wondered if they still qualify if they haven't put any money in.
Is that a typo or
just
that
kidding, right? Mike.
Well, let's ask Mark to put that $11 in.
Okay. I'm just, no, I don't want to argue. I'm just kidding.
Well, again, our compliments go out to our financial staff, Brenda Brown, for keeping track of this down to the dollar, Commissioner.
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to approve then.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a question.
Okay, we have a second by Commissioner Adams and a question from Commissioner Potter.
I just wanted a reminder of on the interest rate, the 1%, why and where that had come from.
Excellent question. Would anyone like to speak to that?
Because I don't remember.
You know, as I recall, I made the motion on that originally, and it's what they were felt like they needed to be able to make this project work. And
was requested.
And, you know, we went through that at the time when we did that, and so, but.
Thank you.
That was the reason.
Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, now on to project number 9. Commissioner Mattson will be abstaining. Again, this is a $139,000 grant for the Sittler Road easements. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second.
Commissioner Jarrett is the motion. Commissioner Winterton is the second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? I'll do the next 5. If there's any reason to stop, please let me know. Town of Ballard Transportation Master Plan, $30,500 grant. Oak City General Plan Update, $12,500 grant. Project number 12, Town of Hatch Utility and Drainage Study, $25,000 grant. Beaver Fire District Number 1, new fire truck, $407,000 total with $207,000 15-year 0% loan and $200,000 grant. Town of Springdale Transportation Master Plan for $15,000 grant. And Town of Torrey Purchased Property, $345,000 grant. The chair will entertain a motion on those projects.
So moved.
Mr. Zanotti has the motion. Is there a second? Commissioner Winterton has a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next 5. Number 16, Town of Bicknell, $50,000 grant for the purchase of equipment. Morgan County Road Improvements, $20,000 10-year 2.5% loan for road improvements. Salina City, I was back in California there for a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Water System Improvements, $6,436,000 total CIB request with $4,290,000 30-year 2.5% loan and a $2,146,000 grant. Green River City for Water, Sewer, and Drainage Facility Improvements, $331,585 grant. And Milford City Water Master Plan, $21,250 grant. The chair will entertain a motion on those 5 projects.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Farrell has the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Mattson is the second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So on San Pete County, Fire Improvement District Number 2, equipment purchase, 7 urban wildland interface vehicles. I'd just like to say all that. $600,000 grant. Project 22, Ivan City, impact fee study, $125,000 grant. The Rockville-Springdale Fire Protection District Feasibility Study and Master Plan, $20,000 grant. Town of Apple Valley Road Improvements, total request is $1.977 million, with $1,318,000 at a 30-year 2.5% loan and a $659,000 grant. Project 25 is the Town of Clarkston, Water Master Plan, $10,000 grant. The Chair will entertain a motion on those projects.
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti is the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Galecki is the second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Thank you. We're getting through this. Be patient. Project 26, Town of Joseph, Utility Master Plan, $40,000 grant. Let's take that one on its own. I should have just included it in the others. I'm sorry. Is there a motion on that project?
Motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. Thank you, Commissioner Adams, with the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Keith, could I ask for a, if we could, if there's one thing that, it, since we voted on something that's been bothering me a little bit, I'd like to go back to this one, if I could, just for a moment.
Sure.
It's the one with the Manti City Recreational Facility.
Okay.
And I fully support everything that we did, but I'm wondering if we could, as they're trying to get that grant from the Eccles Foundation, you know, you've got the chicken and the egg kind of thing that happens. So I'm wondering if we could have some kind of a favorable recommendation or something so that they can clearly, with the Eccles Foundation, if we could just include in that motion a favorable recommendation moving forward or something that helps them as they try to secure that grant. That's my question.
Yeah, we can do that. And I'm also very happy to write them a letter letting them know the status of the funding with the board and our situation. But if you would like to make an amendment to the motion to, or a supplement to the motion to include that.
If I could just supplement that okay. to the motion if I could.
We have a supplement to the Manti motion to include our favorable support. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Farrell seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Commissioner McKee.
Thank you.
Okay, Town of Marysvale, if they would like to come forward and address the board, they've amended their application as prioritized by the board, so if they can introduce themselves and talk to us a little bit about that, then we'll go to the board for questions.
I'm Wade Fountain, the mayor of Marysvale.
Ryan Savage, Savage Surveying.
So on our project, we preliminary funding or whatever was part grant, part loan. And we've been, the last 7 years, we've gotten about not quite half of our roads done. We've improved them. But now it takes us about 2 years to get the money together for a project worthy to pay all the costs to bring the equipment in. So every 2 years we do a project. Well, right now the project that we did 7 years ago is starting to need maintenance. And so as far as the loan portion, we would have a very hard time maintaining what we've done and moving forward with the rest of our town. We've gone in and went over our whole project. We had it in different phases, and we went into the overall project after the last meeting and identified the most important areas that we need the most help with. They are generally the paving areas, and on average we've been getting around $48,000, $49,000 on our BNC road money. And mobilization for these projects is about that much, so we wouldn't be getting very far trying to move forward with repairing the rest of our roads. And so we've identified the roads that we need the most. We're going to turn some of them back to dirt, the ones that are less traveled. And so this is just the area where we need the most help so we can get a handle on our maintenance and get it into a cycle where we can maintain our roads and not keep asking for help.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Mayor. Questions from the board?
I guess I've got a couple. You said you look at changing this project, and it looks like the only change was taking out 400 feet of Jersey barriers and actually adding a couple, some asphalt. I'm wondering how that priority changed.
We took out the Jersey barrier, and then we got I went to the county, and the county there was a cut back on the grade to change the slope. The county, Paiute County, is going to come in and help us with that. There was also quite a bit of drainage, some curb and gutter that we pulled out of it. And then we went back and identified some of the other two areas in the other phases that we absolutely needed help with and brought them back in. And so that's where there's not a huge change, but we did change the scope of the project to cover the areas that we felt we needed the most help with that would help us get a handle on our maintenance.
Yeah, I apologize. I forgot that curb and gutter that you took it out. My other question is that you talk about, it was mentioned in here that if you didn't get the funding, some of the roads would have to be turned back to a gravel road. Now, what do you have as far as future funding and future maintenance of things? Because it seems like it's just a reoccurring, you don't have enough money. Is it a smarter move to actually let things turn back into a gravel road?
The roads we've identified, we get a lot of heavy traffic. It's kind of a seasonal, we get a lot of big trucks and motorhomes for the roads we've identified. And we get a lot of ATV traffic, which creates a lot of dust. So the roads that we are focused on are just the ones that are going to cause a nuisance if they go back to dirt. And so those are the ones we've identified. The others, where we're at with what we're asking for now is to help us. We think if we get these areas fixed, then we can get them in a rotation to where we're taking care of, we can go through and maintain them rather than right now we've been doing big projects that we really can't afford rather than maintenance. And so we've been saving up and trying to do those. In the meantime, it's getting ahead of us.
Another question is this, I'm just trying to explain or understand, is that if I look at it right, 400 feet of Jersey barriers took off $400,000 worth of costs?
No, part of the cost in the original was also a major chip seal project that we reduced out of this. It's basically a saving of $400,000 from what we were asking before, but also instead of three phases, as you guys requested that we do phasing, we're asking for a one shot here to get these things up so that they can maintain them.
Any further questions from the board?
Just a comment.
Mr. Jarrett, please.
This town did what we asked them to do. They went back and they reprioritized their roads. They relooked at what they could do, what they could afford relative to a loan. They scaled back the whole project. They're only asking for $685,000 in grant. They even scaled back the engineering costs. Anytime a town decides to put a road back to gravel leaves me a little bit concerned, but this is a decision they've made to try to keep up with what they have. I'm pretty certain that Paiute County is not going for a sales tax increase, optional sales tax increase, because really the only town that has any probably sales tax would be Marysville, if at all. And so all they're going to get is BNC and a little bit they get off the gas tax that was passed by the legislature.
That's not true. They'll get a share of what happens in Salt Lake County.
No, they will not.
Why not?
Because they're not doing the optional sales tax.
If they did the option, they would.
But the county decided not right. Marysville, not Marysville, right. But the county, Paiute County, chose not to go and have that as a ballot decision this year. So I'm saying.
Okay,
so,
but it was their choice.
It was the county's choice,
right.
Not Marysville. Well, anyway, all I'm saying is, I understand how limited it is when you have BNC funds, that you're trying to maintain what you have, and that we've seen this all the time in here, how these little communities just have gotten to a point where roads are gone and they just need a boost to kind of get back where they can start to maintain them again. So I commend Marysville for coming back and showing that they went back and relooked at the project, tried to see what they could afford, maintaining their BNC funds to keep the roads that they did 7 years ago or 5 years ago to get that project still whole. So I'm going to move approval.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Jarrett and a second from Commissioner Mattson. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I want to make a substitute motion.
We have a substitute motion. Commissioner Adams?
Yeah. Did Marysville pass a resolution asking the county to participate in the transportation BNC Road Proposition 1?
I'm not aware of it. I don't believe so.
Okay. If Marysville did pass that, they could participate in sales tax all over the state, including Salt Lake and the Wasatch Front, would share their sales tax with all rural communities. Do you realize that?
I was not aware of that.
A very substantial increase in your BNC road fund. But anyway, that... You get $49,000 a year in BNC road funds now, is that correct?
Approximately, yeah.
Okay. We just passed today an application from the town of Central Valley, who had come in and asked for street improvements, $2.8 million. The board chose to have them take the majority of that, but take a little bit in loan, $250,000. With an interest rate. I'm just wondering if the board has any appetite to be a little bit consistent. And if we ask them to take $100,000 in a loan at 0%, that would be $10,000 of the BNC road fund for 10 years. I think there's some value in asking people to stretch a little bit, but also try and be a little bit consistent. So I'm going to move that we offer them a $585,000 grant and a $100,000 loan at 0% interest for 10 years.
Okay, we have a motion from Commissioner Adams. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Potter seconds. Any discussion? We generally don't take discussion from the body.
I would like to hear from
as they do in Congress.
If that's okay,
surrender
like
the floor
to
the flying gentleman from Kane County. You'll need to pick up that microphone, representative, and turn it on. It's not on. Yeah. Thank you.
Can you hear me now? This is my district. I represent Paiute County. It's probably one of the poorest counties in the state, and if you could ever see a county that uses it up, make it work and do without, that's the one that does it, okay? They work together. They're very efficient people. I've seen their community roads. They're tough, and they don't have much commercial benefits in those areas there. The ATV rides, or people come in, that's the Paiute Trail, people come in and use those roads. And I think what we're trying to get to here is how can we help them to continue with the recreational, the economic efforts, opportunities they have in that county, and not impact the citizens there that have to eat the dust and go up the road. So I think there's a benefit to overall to the state. ATVs pay into the fund there. I appreciate Commissioner Adams. This is a very, very poor community. This is a very, very good people. Love them, and I'd really appreciate if you'd stick with the grant part of it. That's, like I said, that's one of the seven counties I represent.
Thank you, Representative. We appreciate. Any further discussion?
Well, I'm not trying to start trouble. San Juan County is the poorest county in the state of Utah.
We've heard that before.
Which, Mike Noel represents as well. We came in recently with a request from the board for $5 million to fix roads in Monticello and Blanding. We took $2.5 million in grant and $2.5 million in loan with interest. And I don't think this is a big deal. I'm not going to feel bad either way the board wants to go. I'm looking for whether there's an appetite to be a little bit consistent, to be fair with those communities who have come in and have taken some loan to fix their roads. And I appreciate what Paiute's done, and I've been to Marysville. It's not that far as the crow flies from San Juan County to Marysville, and I do appreciate what they're trying to do. So, anyway.
Thank you, Commissioner. So we have a substitute motion for a grant of $585,000 with a loan of $100,000 for 10 years at 0% interest. We have a motion and a second. Without further discussion, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, we're going to have to do this by a show of hands. All those in favor, please raise your hand and allow Candace to count. 1, 2, 3. We have 4 ayes. All those opposed, by a show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And a nay from afar.
5, 6. 6 against. So we return. Okay, keep your hands up. You need to learn initials.
And
then Mr. Ellis. Okay. So we return to the original motion, which was as presented, $600,000 grant. Any further discussion on that? All in favor of that motion, show of hands, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so you have Richard and then did you get everybody?
Yeah, who's opposed?
Okay, all those opposed to that, show of hands. Mr. Galecki is opposed, and we have a couple abstentions, or did I just miss?
No.
So that motion carries. Thank you very much, Mayor. We appreciate all that you do and realize how difficult it is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sag. We'd like to invite Grand County Municipal Building Authority forward. Grand County has also asked for put in a revised request to that which was advanced to the priority list. But before you introduce yourselves, I think there's been some misunderstanding on this project. There were some comments made when this project was brought forward, and the reality is those are neither here nor there with the funding package that was offered to Grand County. And for the board's benefit, Candace included in your packet several items that show you the history of our jail funding, as well as another page that shows you some funding options to try to make this work. So unfortunately, there was some misunderstanding based on some comments that were made that affected the package that was offered. And in fact, the package that was offered was consistent with what has been offered to other counties for their jails. And having prefaced that, we'll have you introduce yourselves and tell us about the project.
Okay. I'm Elizabeth Tubbs, and I'm currently the chairperson of the Grand County Council.
Sheriff White, Sheriff of Grand County.
We want to thank you for allowing us to come back and present to you again. We received all the messages loud and clear the last time we were here. And we would like to just discuss an alternate proposal. We are coming back to ask for a grant loan combination a little bit different than what was offered to us before. We simply can't afford that package. We're asking for a grant of $2,327,000. And we're asking for a loan of $2,328,000 at a 2.5% rate for 20 years, and we still have our original $400,000 in match.
On the application that we have provided us, it shows an annual payment with the revised request of $145,692. Regarding that amount, is that near the maximum amount that the county can afford to service on the debt?
I believe so. I would prefer that Diana Carroll, our auditor, answer that question, but yes, I believe so. Okay.
If you'll hand her the microphone that's on the table there, we can. Or just give her your seat, Sheriff. Thank you.
Hey,
she's got the money.
So if she'll just introduce yourselves. And
Diana Carroll, Grand County Clerk Auditor. And that is true. That's about the maximum that we can do. We were able to increase our transient room tax, which kind of let a little bit of slack off of our general fund. And since the jail is a function of the general fund, that's where the payment will come from, is our.
And thank you for that. Separate question I have is, and we discussed this a little bit previously, is there any ability to scale back the project and still have it substantially complete?
I think the project has been reviewed, but perhaps back to the sheriff. And I think we are where we need to be at this point.
Yeah, at this point, we're bare minimums of what we need now. We're not expanding at all. This is just the renovation to keep us up and going.
Understood. Thank you. At this point, we'll go to the board for any questions they might have.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti, please.
Sheriff, you still have a commitment from the county to transport and house the inmates in another location?
Yes. Matter of fact, we worked out the agreements with Emory County. They're going to charge us $20 a day per inmate. And then the transports and everything will be handled by us.
You will be responsible for
that. And then we will also be, our staff will be assisting Emory. We'll be moving some of our staff during the move to assist with the holding of our inmates to hold the cost down.
And the project manager has commitment that they're going to finish on time, so you do not have any overruns by the Emory County for the housing inmates?
Yeah, we can never say never, but if not, they won't get out of Grand County alive. So yeah, we're going to hold them to time.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Potter?
One other question that we had from some of our discussion last time, and that is, as far as this particular project goes, What are the other resources that are going to be made available to the county? I mean, this is a general fund expenditure in operating your jail, but what are you going to be able to do to be prepared when you've got to replace that entire jail? Have you looked into that future? Have you looked into that? Because, yeah, this is a substantial project, but it's probably a Band-Aid for the future is what it really
correct.
Is.
Correct. So I think that's...
Your dynamics are coming down the road very quickly at you, Sheriff.
I agree with you totally. I think that's some conversations that have already been started with the commission. You know, the last couple of years, we've looked at our long-term plans, and I would probably defer some of that back to Liz on our county long-term planning, our 5, 10, 15, you know, 30-year plan. So it is. It's hopefully this will get us through the next 25 years to where we can have the things in line and be ready to move forward as we need to.
And I appreciate Mr. Heaton's earlier comments in that the last meeting was not opposing the project, it was opposing the process, and also the fact that with this particular application, what we offered was what the rest of us as counties have been able to and asked to provide, and you're a mineral-producing county, as a lot of the counties are here, and so that's really where the discussion is. I'm glad the message was sent. We need to work together on this, but... I guess my question is, Mr. Heaton, is do you have any other resources? You've come up and said this is all we can afford on an annual basis, but do you have any other resources to put more money into this project? That's really what my question is, because
okay.
it's far short of what we would normally require on a jail-type project.
I think that's probably going to be best by Diana.
Are you asking if we have other resources currently, right now, to put into this project?
Right.
I don't believe we do.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, I have a couple of questions.
We'll go to you, Mr. Ellison.
Is there anything magical about the 20-year amortization of this debt?
What was that? I didn't understand the question.
He was asking if there was something magical about the 20-year term, because you're asking for a 20-year loan versus a 30. And if it was a 30-year term, we could handle more debt on this.
Nothing about amortization.
Well, okay, let me.
I can answer that question for you.
If we did a 30-year loan at 2.5%, keeping your payment the same, that would be a loan on $3,050,000, and then a grant of $1,605,000 gets you to the same point, but it changes that loan grant mix to, rather than a 50-50, it makes it a 65-35 loan to grant ratio, which is still generous compared to what we generally do on gel financings. So is there a reason why you couldn't do a 30-year financing on this? Maybe Alex Buxton has an answer for that.
The way we've looked at this is just like Commissioner Potter just outlined. We don't believe the gel has a 30-year life left within it. We believe it's a 20-year max or 25-year max. We need to be taking steps in the interim before that gel wears out again to fund and put money aside and look for other sources to bring that up. We don't think we're doing this us a good service or our taxpayers a service by extending that out to 30 years. We need to cut that down so that we're within the life of the project.
And there's nothing in this jail that would be salvaged into a new jail. You would just demolish the whole thing then.
There's some of us. Yes, you're correct.
Rick Bailey, can you introduce yourself for the record?
Rick Bailey, Emergency Manager with Grand County.
Thank you. And if you'll have the microphone to our bond counsel.
I would like to speak to this. We had a meeting yesterday with our Appropriations Committee, Natural Resource Appropriations. I sit on the leadership team as a state legislature. And I know this discussion was there last year. I was in your county a couple of weeks ago, and some of the presentations that were given were about energy development. And believe me, I support this sheriff right here, and I support this commissioner and those that are trying to make sure we have mineral development in the state, because it affects our entire state. But when I see county commissioners make statements about no oil and gas drilling within a mile of a national park, now that particular project, that particular issue that came up with Tim DeChristopher cost the school trust lands $166 million. And the commission, or the council that's in there now, have made all kinds of references to creating more monuments in those areas, locking up oil and gas development. I just don't think they can have it both ways. I read an editorial in your paper from a local citizen that said the people need to wake up where the money's coming from. They're coming to the board. These are monies that belong to all the people of the state of Utah for the benefit of the state of Utah, and yet in their other alternative voices, they're saying don't develop oil and gas, don't develop other areas. So I'm really conflicted. I want to see this happen. I support this sheriff. I support the Sheriff's Association. I support many of the good people in Grand County. But I don't support people in one hand to have their hand out for money and then say don't develop oil and gas resources in their county and in other counties, that go to the president and say make national monuments, which stops oil and gas development. So I would say this to the commission chairman or the council chairman, Ms. Tubbs. You guys need to get your act together down there and figure out what you want. You either want to go completely solar power, or you want to go oil and gas development and take these monies from the people of the state of Utah.
Mr. Prater had a comment.
That's a hard one to follow. I just wanted to follow up on what Richard was saying. If this is a municipal building authority deal, the term of the bond cannot exceed the useful life of the facility. That's statutory.
So what you're implying is that if they're saying it's 20 years, then 20 years.
That's the longest bond that can be.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Prater. Commissioner McKee.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion on this. And I appreciate what Representative Noel has talked about. You know, what what happens here is mineral development. That's the very money that we operate on. And I also, I'm just going to say, I did have an opportunity to have some discussion with some of the Grand County folks down there. And, you know, I think in every county you have factions. You have different groups of people. I think the message that came out of this board, you know, when was this, 2 or 3 months ago, this was before us. I know it's had quite a stir. There's been a lot of articles in the paper and those kind of things. But I know there is a group there in Grand County that's, and I have been told, are very, you know, they're open to responsible energy development. And when I look at our sheet here in Grand County, they've actually had in revenue $9 million and awards of $8 million. It's probably one of the few counties that's balanced, you know, the other way that way. And so, you know, I guess here's what I would like to do. I would like to make a motion that we approve this, but I'm also going to say that I really hope that Grand County will be very open-minded to energy development. And, you know, this isn't the last project that's ever going to come before us. And I think, you know, we have an opportunity, us and Grand County, to move forward, to work together. And that's what I believe that we're going to be doing. And so I'm making a motion to approve with the terms, with their modified terms that they have presented.
We have a motion from Commissioner McKee. Is there a second to that motion?
Second that with that explanation.
Mr. Zanotti seconded that. Further discussion? Commissioner Jarrett, we'll start with you.
You know, I'm going to come at this from a different direction. And for me, because it's a remodel, not a new jail, I see that we need to look at it just a little differently. But the major responsibility of a local government is twofold: the safety, health, and welfare of their citizens. And when you look at a jail, even though we don't like to fund jails, that's a fundamental responsibility of a local government to provide that protection to their citizens. So I think the fact that they recognize they have a huge issue there, they need to fix it. It's a expensive fix, that's my concern, but it is a fix, and that is their responsibility. And I think for the protection of their citizens, I think that this was a good motion. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Winterton?
I just want to go on the record. I'm supportive of Grand County and their efforts, and I appreciate them going back, and they've had the discussion. For me, I think that my concerns have been resolved in that they've done everything they can, and the awareness of where the mineral lease money that supports this board comes from. And so I just want to go on the record that I appreciate what they're doing.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Adams?
As I look at the revenues and the awards from CIB, Grand County in the last 5 years has put in $9.2 million. They've only received a little over $2 million in grants, and I think most of that grant money went for a recreation project. And it seems like counties generally get back in grant money about what they put in, or maybe a little more. So I don't think the request is out of line based on what they put in to the fund. So I would support the motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Any further conversation? We have a motion. Oh, Mr. Correctus?
Just one additional comment.
I thought you had a scratch there.
you know, the original there wasn't any malice in the original application. It was consistent with what had been funded in the past. So that when they came back and said that, you know, it's untenable. But I think the big part of that original application is that it was consistent with what we've funded in those types of facilities. So,
thank you. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Ellis?
We lost him.
I guess we lost him.
I got stuck on mute. Aye.
Oh, I understand. I do that all the time. Do you have a vote? You said aye?
Yes, he did.
Okay, great. Then it's unanimous. Thank you very much.
I just want to say thank you very much.
All of you.
You sir, appreciate all the good work you do. Our request for special consideration number one has been tabled. We need a motion to hear special consideration number two for Hilldale City. Is that correct?
Yes. I move that we hear the special consideration.
Commissioner Jarrett has made a motion that we hear it. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Mr. Farrell is the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hilldale City, if you'd like to come forward and tell us about your situation. Does anyone need a break? We doing okay? All right.
After this one.
Let's take a 5-minute break while they set up.
We've got a closed session coming up. We've got to wrestle on some things. We have to do with infrastructure and all that.
Richard, are you still on the line?
You're in the ditch. Or, you know, it's there's too much.
Richard, are you still connected?
Evan, your parents and grandparents go through depression, so you kind of go, you have a little sense of, well, what can you afford?
Steve?
Richard, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we're going to get started here in a minute.
Okay, I thought it was off mute, but I was muted again, so I'm ready, whatever.
Everybody, it's almost like, you know, the American dream. Well, part of the American dream is you're working for. It's not the American title.
Where the water
is the American dream. And you got to work for
that. I know, but how much water you can
that is
in
when I was growing up as a kid, we all worked on the neighbors on the farm, and then the neighbors were in the help. You can't get a kid. Yeah, my kids, as far as like doing hay and flood irrigation, getting up at 2 in the morning, because that's when you have your daughter. I mean, a little sense, you know. And it's funny because then they sometimes I thought they didn't get it, you know, and then it's kind of like a couple of them are in college.
That's kind of illustrated, you kind of get it.
My brother once said, you know, some kid hit.
Portal has a chain.
Well, as every country.
Yeah, that's why I go to the gravel road, you know, like Marysville. Like,
a lot of money.
You know, especially.
If we can get everyone back together, we'll go ahead and get started again.
It's not doing well. You know, the hills are not doing well.
No. No shortage of crap.
This right here, too. Just FYI.
Wow. Welcome back, everyone. Let's reconvene. Again, the Hilldale information, the application was in your supplemental red folder.
Yeah, thank you.
And Hilldale, if you'll please introduce yourselves and tell us why you're here.
My name is Philip Barlow. I'm the mayor of Hilldale.
Richard Barlow, Hilldale City Treasurer.
I've also got with us our city recorder and our engineer from Sunrise. First, I just want to express appreciation to you for allowing us to come before you today. Thank you so much. Our experience is just a blur for the last 2 weeks. I want to express appreciation to this board for what you've done for us the last year with our fire equipment. The report to you that we were that is moving forward, and we released funds on some of those vehicles even just yesterday, so we will be taking delivery of some of those vehicles by the end of the year, and the fire truck probably early next year, and we very much appreciate that. September 14th, 2015 is going to be a momentous historical event for us. For the rest of our lives, and even the state of Utah. I suppose many of you have watched the news. You've got a lot of the stories. I'm sure there's many thousand stories, as many stories as there are residents in our area. But I thought maybe I would tell you my experience a little bit, what happened that day. I was at City Hall early in the day, shortly after lunch. We'd had a strong rainstorm that day. And as I went to go across town, there was a huge flood in the short creek there that was blocking the crossings. Every crossing that crosses that accesses the from the south was blocked. And I remember looking up and seeing a clear blue sky, but off to the south was a big dark cloud. A typical thing. So as I made my way around, I had to go clear out to the highway, out to 59, that connects to Arizona and around, to get over into Colorado City, where I was going to the post office and a few things. While I was there, this huge storm came rolling in. It was frightening, in a way. Find out later that it was a supercell. During that time period, our phones all beeped. The National Weather Service warnings, which we get quite a few times each year, and we realize that means there's probably going to be water in the creek, and we may want to go over and watch it. As I worked my way back up into Hilldale, it rained so hard that vehicles were pulling off, and we had hail that was so much it looked like snow around the shop there where I work and up the street. And at that point, I received a call from over where I live, and there was flooding coming down Willow Street that was washing everything away. At that point, I said, well, everybody get on high ground and take a lot of pictures and video this for me. And I worked my way down there. While I was there, I witnessed this Willow Street, which we have some pictures here that identify that going across. As I sat there and watched that, I was like, this has got to be huge. That's a lot of water. Every house for a block there, and then there was an explosion right there. The power went off as it was underground and washed out. At that point, as I was just standing there watching this, then I saw the police chief vehicle come through. And he had lights and sirens, and he was absolutely hauling, and he went through that flood there, and that's what this top picture there is, the chief vehicle, which we snapped from right there, going sideways and bumping and spinning, four-wheeling, and he got through there, and I said, there's something going on somewhere further up, and so I said, well, I sure hope they're able to get in there. The challenge I knew was that all the other crossings were already blocked. I'd already seen that with the previous storm, and now this is the only access in. As I watched the flood recede after a little while, then there's an ambulance that came through and tried to get through and got stuck. And after a little bit of pulling and working, they were able to get that ambulance through. A little later, then they did get there with a grader and cleared that out. And I decided to head up to Canyon Street and see what's going on. And so I got in my car and made my way up there to the Canyon Street and a lot of vehicles, and that's when I started to get the first report of what had occurred there. And talking to the residents, and that's where some of these other pictures come from, as witnesses that were there. Many of these you've seen on the news. Some you may not have. Come to find out, there were two vehicles that had been having a picnic in the park. One vehicle had a mother and four children. The other one had the difference making up to a total of 16 people. They had come down. It rained really hard up in Maxwell Park, a beautiful spot. And they had come down and they parked. And as you see on the photos, you'll see that they parked back away from that, where there was a large amount of water coming across Canyon Street. And they were just sitting there watching it, waiting for it to go down or deciding what to do. And the rain had stopped. And there was a resident up that lives right there that had walked out there to see what was going on, and he witnessed this wall of water that came down the Maxwell Wash there. And when it came to the where it leveled out, it spread out to 600 feet wide, and it had logs and debris. And it came clear around, and there, we have a picture here showing that flood coming onto the road several hundred feet behind those vehicles. And that particular photo was pulled out of a video that he took, and there's just one shot that we went frame by frame, and you can see the reverse lights come on the vehicles as they start to go back. As the flood came around, it basically just picked up those two vehicles and washed them off the edge. And we have an aerial photo of where that went off. And this fellow who was videoing was like 500 feet up the road, and the water was coming up to the wheels on his vehicle as he got in and backed away to safety. And then when he got out to video, the vehicles were gone. Right around this same time, as I went to the briefings a little later, there were several hundred calls that came in, all the way from lightning striking a house to people stranded in vehicles, just what you would imagine, water outages, water lines broke. We knew we had a big event on our hands. The first responders that made it to the vehicles, that we have one vehicle here that was actually taken by a first responder before anybody even made it to the vehicles. As they got over there, found out that there were a lot of people in those vehicles, an entire family in each of the vehicles. As the first responders worked around, they found a little boy who has a really interesting story where he cut himself free with his pocket knife through the airbag and climbed out up on top of the vehicle and jumped across to safety. As the time went by, it became more apparent as we found out how many people were involved. It ended up there were four people still in the vehicles. There were three young boys who basically were self-rescued because they climbed out. The one boy doesn't remember much, but about a mile down the creek, he just found himself on the bank and pulled himself up. And they found him wandering on that side. And we have a map here that was prepared by the search and rescue team that came to help us. And it shows the location of where the people were found. The furthest one was 6 miles down the creek bed. As I went back to the city hall and began to find out the dynamics of this, we had so much help that came in. I started getting calls from many people. I don't even remember everyone who gave their support and sent help. The following day, we had the lieutenant governor in town. We hosted him, and he looked at the sites and met with the families. It was a very tender time as he realized we were still looking for people down in the creek bed. So we had a huge search and rescue operation going on. And he informed me that the governor was in China and was watching it very closely. The following Saturday, by Saturday, then all of the victims had been located except one. One little boy, 6 years old. And he has not been found yet today. So we're so appreciative, and we realize that we have ourselves a huge job on our hand. One of the first things that happened is UDOT showed up at the request of the governor and the commissioner of public safety and began to clean up our roads, and they were cleaned up beautifully within the next week. All the dirt swept, and we very much appreciate that. And then through the help of the county emergency services people and the state, which I want to express appreciation for them, we were able to get $100,000 worth of emergency money, mitigation money, to work on the to do something to help mitigate this. That money being administered through the county, Washington County came out, and we decided that the best place to put that money would be in that wash where that flood came down and begin to prepare that. But they said that this money cannot do a culvert or it can't do anything on the street. And so even to right now, we've got trucks up there right now mitigating and working that channel to bring that 600 feet back into its channel and put it across Canyon Street there. And so at this point, I guess, you know, this is where we're at, is we have this huge tragedy, and we're reaching to do something with Canyon Street and with Willow Street. We've had our engineers looking at this, and they have put together rather quickly some very good estimates and some good proposals, which we feel like would very well mitigate these issues. And that's where we're at.
Can you tell us a little bit about the project that you're requesting?
Maybe I could have Russ talk a little more about the details of what he's proposed. So
please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Russ Funk with Sunrise Engineering. We've been working with Hildale on a drainage study even before this happened, and so we were looking at some solutions even to some of these areas even beforehand. But the solution there for Canyon Street that we're proposing is a bridge structure, 24 foot wide by 10 foot rise structure there that would be put in. We're going to have to lower the grade of the channel coming through. I honestly and fully believe that with this structure there, and if it was there before, that this tragedy wouldn't have happened. With the work that they're doing up there right now to put a berm along the road and then putting this bridge in, it will be able to carry well excess of the 100-year storm. This flood, of course, was far beyond that. But I believe that the road would have been open and people could have gotten through and wouldn't have been sitting there. So that is the project there for Canyon Street. Along Willow Street, in communicating with the city and trying to understand, you know, what can be done here to avoid a tragedy like this, the key there is to keep the road open and accessible, because you're isolating parts of town where no emergency access can get to. And so right now the flood water runs on the surface. It blocks off the street. That's kind of how it's designed. And so the intent there is that we will take that water and put it into a drainage channel. We're going to put in a 6x6 box culvert that goes under the roadway there and then through a few driveway accesses. And then we're going to have a flood channel. It's going to have a concrete bottom so that they can maintain it, clean it out, riprap sides, and it's going to carry the flood water through. One of the big key things there that we talked about as we reviewed our idea with the Public Works and with the town is you're going to get sediment, you're going to get some debris that comes down. There's actually going to be some work upstream that's done separately by the town that's not included or shown in these proposals. But we wanted to make sure that it was something that we felt like they could get in and clean and maintain. And so that is what's proposed tonight, with the idea, again, of making sure that road is accessible, that you can get emergency access across and get to parts of town in future floods.
Well, we're certainly not experts in these matters, which is why we rely on you. But one of the things that we've experienced on this board is that oftentimes these bridges and culverts actually act as dams when we have these types of events. What is going into the engineering? I mean, you talked about some of the stuff upstream. Is that going to prohibit those acting as detriments rather than assets?
That's actually a really good point. When you look at the Canyon Street crossing, the work, they're basically berming right now about 450 feet up of the bridge structure. 100-year storm that comes down that area stays fairly well contained in the channel that they've got there. This one was well in excess of that, and so it brought a lot of debris down way up behind those vehicles, as you saw in the video. And so that berm there is going to be there to stop that water and kind of direct it down to the dam structure. With the big opening, I believe we'll be able to take that flow. It will still be the low point in the channel, so if there was to be something that happened there, it could overtop, but I believe it will be able to pass it. On Willow Street, there will need to be a bunch of work done upstream. It's on BLM land, and so we've already started talking to the BLM. The work will likely be done there by the city, but they're going to have to put a sedimentation basin in, some structures there that will catch that initial debris as it comes down. Some of it will still get through, and there still will be sediment that's in that channel, but with the improvements that are going in, we feel like it will be crossable, passable, and emergency access will get through.
Go to the board for questions.
Were there other sources of funding? Like, seems like there would be maybe other emergency funding available for this type of project.
I don't know of any. The ones that have come up so far, we are using, like I said, with the NRCS and the $100,000. That had to be spent within 10 days, and then we got a 10-day extension on it. So that will be done.
And then I guess I see the in this project for the engineer, I see the need for the bridge and stuff. How, as far as Willow Street, where do these two streets tie together? I mean, was it functionally? I'm just trying to see where it was. I mean, would Willow Street be affected if it exceeded the 100-year storm event?
So the 100-year storm event for Willow Street is roughly 160 CFS. The improvements that are going in are in excess of 300 CFS capacity, and so it's going to be able to take a storm that's larger. Most of the storms that you see, that street will remain passable. There comes a point, this storm is a good example, that there's more water than you're prepared for. But I feel like this improvement that's proposed here will take care of most of the storms that ever come through, and we'll keep those roads open. I don't know if that answers your question adequately.
I guess I'm still confused. Are they parallel streets, or does Canyon Street turn into Willow Street?
No.
What you have is Short Creek comes out of the canyon. Canyon Street dumps into Short Creek, and then Willow Street dumps into Short Creek further down.
Nice.
And they both join. So they're totally independent. They're probably 2 or 3 miles apart.
And between those is Carling Street. And Carling Street also has major flooding. We had seven people in a vehicle on Carling Street. They were parked at their home, and a wall of water came down there and smashed up against the side of their carport. And the people that were in the vehicle were very concerned and stayed there for a while, but then got out as the wall broke loose and smashed the vehicle against the house, filled the bottom of the house with water and 2 feet of mud in the second story of the home. And we were blessed to not have seven more victims.
So Carling Street is between Willow and Hilldale. So where these canyons come out, we kind of have 4 or 5 places where it comes down, makes its way to Short Creek independent. Willow Street is totally independent of Canyon, and Carling makes its way to.
I know this is very small here, but so the main sections here where the search area is, that's Short Creek going down. You can see how that comes down. Canyon Street comes down here. This is Maxwell Park. This drainage all here comes down and crosses up here. Willow Street is down here in this area. There's another drainage right here that comes across us. So they're tributaries that come down into Short Creek.
So Willow Creek comes into effect. It's almost like an overflow. It's exceeding a certain design event, or does it always come down Willow Creek?
There will always be drainage coming down Willow Street. It's a separate drainage, and it comes down to that point. That low point is where Willow Street is.
So just a couple more questions. So you guys spoke about you identified a problem and that you were looking at trying to improve your drainage. Independent of this, the tragic event, how were you thinking that you were going to pay for those improvements?
I'll tell you,
what I was, I actually was at the Canyon Street crossing a week and a half before this incident. We wound up with the Public Works Director, and we were looking it over, and I said, we have RAP tax money, which is our, for our parks. I said, for the safety of the park, this seems like it's important, and I was, my anticipation was to maybe look at seeing if we could use RAP tax to help improve that crossing. And we met with the park director and the public works director the Friday before this incident. But I don't, we are, the money that's coming in on the RAP taxes is about just a little bit less, or right around $3,000 a month.
As Russell, Russ mentioned, we were doing the stormwater study, and my thoughts were, let's get this, let's get some estimates on all this stuff and start to look for funding. And we were hoping that the street money that was going to come in on this tax that was mentioned earlier, we'd petitioned in on that, and I don't know if that made on the, made it on the Washington County ballot or not, but we were hoping for that.
One more question. Howdy.
Question? Oh, I'm sorry, Greg. Are you still going?
Yeah, sorry.
I apologize.
So I see the contingency. There's like double mobilization and high contingencies. I assume that's because it's because it was put together.
That's right. We did. It's a 20% contingency on this project. We did that just because we put the estimates together in a relatively short amount of time. So we just wanted to make sure that we weren't going to have to come back to the board if there was a shortage there or something that was identified.
Mr. Zanotti?
I just want to say that we went through this a few years ago in St. George. You don't, you cannot ever plan for this kind of tragedy. We pray for rain all the time, but unfortunately we are not specific with the Lord to say how much we need. And unfortunately we haven't learned yet in our prayers that we have to ask certain amounts, certain days and certain months. So no matter what you do, you don't. You don't. We woke up one morning just like you, the mayor, and the flood was coming, the homes, and we lost a lot of properties, and lives were saved, but unfortunately devastation was still working in that repairs job. Mayor and the city council and quite a bit of community people are still working, try to shore up those flood areas. And also, by way of disclosure, Mr. Chairman, the Region 4 is under supervision on UDOT. So I was working with the UDOT people on those 3 days to clean up. Watching on TV is different than seeing it in person. Devastation is hard to describe. I'm sure the mayor is getting choked up on describing the events. And a small community, if you look at the Magi, 14,000 compared, 17,000 compared to 40,000 of the state, you can do all kinds of savings, but there's not much money to protect. And I'm sure they're not looking for enhancement of the roadways or the bridges. They're trying to prevent more losses in the future. Lives. They've lost few. They're still looking and searching for the last one, the last 6 years old. Just want to board to know this is not the one event that we prepared for it. Thank you.
Commissioner Jarrett?
First of all, I want to express my sincere and heartfelt condolences to your families in Hilldale and to your community. Of course, we all watched it on television, and I think all of us felt the heartache and the hardship that your community was having. Noting that the Magi is quite significantly less than what you'd anticipate from most communities, and understanding the urgency probably to start getting something going in your community and to bring back a sense of pride back into your community that you're coming back to whole in a sense, I will move approval.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Jarrett and a second from Commissioner Mattson. Commissioner Adams has some questions.
I'm just wondering if the motion ought to be a suspend and fund under these circumstances.
Isn't that cool? Because it's a funding meeting, we don't need to suspend it until the funding meeting. I guess that makes perfect sense. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, it's funded.
Any further discussion on the motion? The request is for $1,490,500 grant. If there aren't any further questions, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Richard. Any opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
I can tell you that there's at least 2,900 thank yous to the residents of Hilldale City.
Thank you, Mayor. Best wishes.
I would extend that all the way upstate because we felt the love and support all the way through the state. I have a list of 84 agencies that have helped.
Wow. Thank you. We'll invite Cardell LaPointe to come up and just try to match that one.
I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Jared. I'm with Tridella Point Water Improvement District. I'm the manager. This is my assistant manager, Nicholas Russo. And before I start, I just want to thank this board for the funding we received on this original project. We come from a very small community, and we're quite spread out. We don't have a large tax base, and the funding that was made available to us in the funding package that we received from the CI board have made a world of difference in our distribution system. We're able to maintain pressures in parts of the system that we've been struggling with for years. The breakage in our pipelines has gone down exponentially, and I just like to take this opportunity to thank this board and the staff for helping us with this on this project. What we're asking for today is an extension of the scope of our project. We have a relatively poor community, and anytime we have to raise rates or increase cost, it's something that weighs on us, as we get complaints about it every time somebody has to come pay the bill, every time we see them at church or anywhere. So we were trying to be very, very physically responsible with the monies in the project, trying to get the most bang for our buck. At the end of the project, we have approximately $150,000 left, and in the course of the project, we had a storage building. It was our old water treatment plant that we'd converted to storage, burned down right at the very beginning of this project, leaving us without a place to store our excess parts, our pipe. One of the problems we have is it's a 14-inch pipe, which, although we have great suppliers in the Uinta Basin, 14-inch isn't one that they typically carry a lot of parts for, so we have to maintain a fairly significant stock of most of our own parts and pipe for all sizes of pipe. And with the loss of our old storage facility, currently we've got pipe out in the weather under sheds. We don't really have the proper protection for the stuff that we have at this point. And we would submit the request to extend the scope of this project. Let us build a storage shed with that remaining funds.
Any questions from the board? Commissioner Jarrett and then Commissioner Mattson.
So you have an estimate of $130,400, but I note that one of the items in the breakdown is $20,000 for asbestos. So if the building burned down, can you tell me why we would have to abate asbestos?
It was a steel frame building. It was an original water treatment plant. It is our belief that we do not have asbestos in the building, but until the test comes back, we have to have that in our contingency that we are removing the. We have to plan for the contingency of asbestos in it. Our original hope was for a 40-by-60 building. That's in talking with different contractors around our area. That seemed plausible and probable for the $150,000. And the contingency is for the asbestos. If we do not have asbestos in the building when the tests come back, we would build a slightly larger building. If we have asbestos, we'll have to scale the building down to the 30 by 40 to be able to match the building to the amount of funds we have left.
I guess
so how
I'm
much
so
was
confused.
Remaining in the project?
Didn't you say it burned down?
$150,000?
Yes, it's a steel building, so okay. It burned, the contents inside the building burned, the insulation burned. It is no longer structurally sound, but there is still a shell standing there. It's no longer structurally sound. We can't use it, but there is still a metal shell.
Commissioner Mattson, did you have a question?
I just wanted to move approval of the project.
I'll second it. We have a motion from Commissioner Mattson and a second from Commissioner Winterton. Any further discussion?
Jared McKee here is my son, and so I need to recuse.
Commissioner McKee recuses himself based on familiar relationship with the applicant. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jared.
We should ask for more. Here's the relationship.
Commissioner McKee, what a good-looking boy.
No, I was on the modest side.
I'm fortunate to have a beautiful wife.
Nothing wrong with marrying up. We have a couple board member issues on the agenda.
I don't have an issue.
We talked about both of them at the beginning of the meeting, so how much discussion remains will be seen. But the first is on the fund balance and the new applications. We averted that today. Thank you to Anti-City's willingness to hold off a month or two. But we are facing the dilemma of significantly reduced revenues coming into the fund and the fact that many of the needs still remain. All of the wants remain. And we're, as Mr. Ellis pointed out, we have a large number of infrastructure projects that we were trying to set money aside for so that we could accomplish those. And so, again, as a board, philosophically, we need to think about and decide, if not collectively, individually, how we're going to deal with that. Candace did share the applications that we have thus far. There are probably more waiting in her inbox for next trimester, and there are several large projects there. So these are things we need to talk about, and if there's room for discussion, that is why it is on the agenda. Thank you. Commissioner McKee?
You know, I appreciated Jim's comment that he made a little earlier. I think this would be, you know, a really good discussion a little bit in our next month's meeting. But I would just make one notation. Our special service districts in Uinta County, they're going through their budget projections right now. But I believe overall the revenue side on the mineral lease portion coming in is going to be about 50% about what we've been having. If you look at the price of oil, I think even though these rigs aren't motivated a lot to drill right now, you have to continue to drill to hold production. And we are getting some drilling, but I think holding production is going to be, we're going to do well just to hold the production. So if we're half off on our revenues, of course we have the other side of the revenues with the payback money that comes in. But I think it would be nice if we could have, if the CIB staff could kind of make some projections for us. Just based on that 50%, it would be helpful in a coming meeting. And I think it helps facilitate our conversation so that we really think this through as, you know, what as a board are our first and highest, and because you know what, I want to do it all, but unfortunately, you know, I have big eyes, and so we're going to have to make tough decisions, and I think it's going to be difficult for all of us to, what are these tough decisions we have to make, and maybe it's a little bit of all of it, I don't know, but it's a good discussion.
Absolutely.
Kane County wants to pay back at $11.
Well, that will help.
With a 10% interest after how many years?
I guess one of my comments, and it was postponed till next month, is, you know, if we have had a significant change recently as far as we were 2 years ago, we were significant money. We were wondering what to do with it. And now there's been a change knowing what to do with it. And I think part of those planning things, it was, said, if I recall correctly, is significantly set up so we would have an idea for planning and future planning was from the rural planning group. And I think, you know, we have to be able to utilize them. You know, think about utilizing them, how to utilize them, fund the project, and all those types of things. Because I think the staff is limited to a certain degree. I mean, the funding revenue, but I think the large projects and how we want to go, I think is, we might call on that part of the staff.
Good point. Thank you. Commissioner Potter?
Just two things, too, is if the staff looks at what the projections are, we probably ought to look at all the counties because we do know that we're going to have an increase in natural gas in ours, and there is a slight increase in coal. So we need to factor some of those things into it. The other thing, going back to what Greg has said, with our regional planners, it would be very helpful as you are contacted, if you help them discern needs and wants, and if we have to place a higher priority on needs, that some of that ramification comes out in these board meetings, that we will not be able to fund everything, or we will ask for prolonged funding or other ways of distributing the funds that come in. And so I think that has to be part of the discussion. But you're right, we've got two great opportunities for planning really within our communities and within the state, and we're seeing that start to come into line. And so anyway, that's I appreciate all that you're doing, but you can help us from the very beginning when the applications and the things go on the list. You can't control that. Counties and cities and so forth are going to put on what they're going to put on, but you can at least give them a heads up.
Commissioner Adams?
I saw your hand.
Well, this funding cycle, we funded, looks like, 28 projects for about $31.9 million. The projection that we got this morning is for about 20 projects, and we're already up to $34 million. Haven't even received all of the projects. I think, a little bit like Jay, I think we've got to take a close look at what the infrastructure needs are. We're getting a lot of wants from communities now that maybe, we might have to make some tough decisions about needs and wants. Anything that the planning group can help with that. I think it's going to be harder to fund those projects that seem to be wants rather than needs moving forward. And as far as the large infrastructure money, you know, we were putting that money away because we had money left over with each funding cycle. We're not to that point again, but I still think it's good to have that that ability if it arises again, that we can put some money in that large infrastructure. But I think I'm just looking now at some of the projects that we're looking at in the next cycle, and there's distinctly some needs and wants in there.
Candace has been whispering in my ear for the last 10 minutes. So,
On the next agenda, it might look a little bit different because I have been toying with the idea of, you know, putting priority projects really literally in a priority position that you'll hear first and then you can hear the rest. But that's why the trimester process was put together, was so that you could review, not fund anything. Things don't get suspended and funded. You wait to see what it looks like at the end of the month, and then the board can sift it out and say, these are the ones that we will, and with the help of the
rural planning group will kind of divide the funding meeting agenda. Kind of here's infrastructure and here's, which is want usually. I mean, is it water? Is it whatever? The large infrastructure set aside was established also, this is my other point, to put aside what excess there is in any month. There wasn't a requirement to put away $5 million or anything beyond what you might have in excess so that each trimester starts basically with a zero balance. You spend it all. So you've spent it all or set it aside, and the new trimester is the new trimester according to what comes in. Obviously, you can't set aside what you don't have. So, but that won't always be the case, and so the board just needs to be aware of that. That's why it will always be on a funding meeting agenda as board discussion.
You look at the ones that are coming up, 25% of the projects we're looking at next time are road improvements. You know, and we knew this was probably going to happen when we started funding roads, but I was just shocked that Marysville knew nothing about Proposition 1. That they hadn't sent a request to their county to get it on the ballot. This is truly an opportunity for rural counties to participate in sales tax in Salt Lake, Weber, and Davis counties in a big way. If people really want or really need those projects, I'm just flabbergasted that they're not going after that money.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And, you know, when we had so much excess money, it was hard to say no to road projects. And we had several philosophical discussions about whether we wanted to get into the road business, realizing exactly as you said, Commissioner Adams, that would be opening up the spigot. But the board does have the ability to close the spigot as well and just say, you know, we appreciate you coming in, we understand your need, but we're backing off on road funding because we just don't have the resources to do everything for everyone. And, you know, we can do that if we have to. Commissioner McKee?
You know, just one other thought on this, and I really appreciate the board. I think the board has really tried to be fair, and it's what we're trying to do here. But as we find ourselves getting into tighter situations, I've been on this board quite a while, and I do see one change that's kind of happened, and I'm good with that while we've had plenty of money. But again, when you look at the federal law says priority going to the areas of impact. And you know, like Paiute County, I'm very pleased with what we're able to do there. And I think we need to be able to help some of these small communities. But I think as we look at that, we still need to follow the federal and the state law. If we get to where the areas that are impacted the highest, is both in federal and state law. And I think if we get right down to having to really prioritize, especially recreational projects in non-producing counties, it's nice when we can, but we might have to look at all those kind of things a little bit more.
Mr. Potter?
And just kind of on that philosophical discussion of why we started to look at the infrastructure type projects, the large ones, is because of to try and perhaps help even out the ups and downs within the energy cycles, because if availability of product is there and yet you can't move it because of an infrastructure hurdle, you have a very difficult time ever finding a balance. I know having lived my life in Price and in Carbon County, and being in business there over a number of years, you see that economic up and down, the cycles that go. And it is getting better, but the infrastructure is always going to be an issue. And I think that the philosophy has to be is that why is that good for all of the state? Because it does equal that out. It perhaps increases the production of whatever mineral it might be. And it also then provides access to market, which then hopefully if we're really going down the road that we talked about originally, that is being a private public-private partnership that definitely has return for the counties because of their right-of-ways, their ability to participate in the project, and the return that is needed there for not only the CIB funding in the form of loans and return to the counties. And so I think that has to be continued as part of our discussion as we look at projects. And then going to what Commissioner McKee has said, we want to make sure that these things are fully vetted, fully contracted, and fully within the parameters of the law.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Matson?
When I was on the board when the large infrastructure fund was set aside for that particular purpose, I don't recall that there was any discussion or debate about whether or not that was those funds were necessarily sequestered. Could we discuss that now?
Council, is that on the agenda?
Well, on the agenda is talking about fund balances, I think, and so I'm not sure if the question is with regard to the fund. Are you talking about the money that was?
He's talking about the infrastructure set aside fund, and we've got the infrastructure set aside balance.
I mean, yeah,
I can see a connection. I just want to make sure I'm thinking correctly.
It is in a different account.
So go ahead, Commissioner.
Well, I guess what I was getting at is that if we have these needs and we're at a point where there's a gap or a difference between revenue and what the expenditure levels would be, is that large infrastructure fund available to help balance those needs? And if so, to what extent? And do we need to debate that question?
I'm answering that question from the point of your rule. The rule that you put in place with regard to that large infrastructure or major infrastructure set-aside fund indicates the board may at any time on motion and majority vote reconvert and transfer funds from the major infrastructure fund back to the general permanent community impact fund. And so the rule is designed to allow, to require at each funding meeting to determine whether or not you want to add money to it if you have money, and but it also provided that at any time you could bring that money back into the impact fund and use it for any purpose that you could use money for anyway.
Does that answer the question?
I think it does. We talk about availability of and decision space for what we do with funds in relation to what our needs are.
Commissioner Jarrett?
I see the value of the infrastructure account, and I do see that into the future, you know, if we can build large infrastructure projects, that is something that we do need to be involved in and try to put some set aside. So I've been okay with that. I appreciated Manti City backing down today and asking that we just put them on the pending list so that we could maintain the fund that was there, because we could have brought some money out of that, and I think that showed support from me, especially, that I see the importance of that fund and that we need to continue it. Relative to roads, you know, you can't leave your house. You can't go to the doctor. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't go up north. You cannot go anywhere once you leave your house if you're not on a road. And I don't know why we're so down on roads. They've just gotten to such a deteriorated state. Even the state recognizes that with their own highways. And I hope we just don't get to the point where we say we're out of the business. I mean, they're trying to get caught up. They're trying to get them back to where they're maintainable. The state stepped up and passed the 5-cent tax. Why Maryvale didn't send in a resolution, I'm guessing it's because their commissioners didn't acknowledge that they wanted one. I don't think the commissioners from the get-go in Paiute County were interested in doing it because they saw that it wouldn't generate enough income, or they might have had some other reason. I don't know if they're raising property tax. I don't know the scenario there. But I would hate to see us penalize Marysville just because they weren't in on their Utah League of Cities and Counties website and didn't know that it was even coming up or that it was an option that they could send a resolution. But it was the county's position not to put that on the ballot, not Marysville. So I just want to make that point clear. And I do think we always need to consider the situation of roads. Should there be some loan? Yes, if the community can support it. And I don't think we ever want to be in the business of putting them out of business because we give them some kind of a package that they just can't handle. So that's my two cents.
Now you've got everyone excited.
Yeah.
Commissioner Adams and
well,
Commissioner Potter.
I need to make my point clear. I wasn't trying to put Paiute out of business. They have $49,000 of BNC road money. I was asking for $10,000 a year for 10 years to have them participate and take a loan. It's not up to the commission solely to put that position on the ballot. We didn't put it on the ballot until we'd heard from the cities. I was shocked that the city of Marysville didn't even know about it.
See, I think the thing that bothered Bruce, and I'm sorry to interject, but the thing that bothered Bruce is when they said they were poorer than San Juan County. Just kidding.
But one of the things that I think we need to decide, really, are we going to fund Marysville's road if we have to make a choice, or are we going to fund Manti's multi-recreation facility? Now, which is a need and which is a want? What is the most important? Are we going to fund roads in all of these communities? Are those more important than recreation facilities? Or, you know, maybe we need to decide as a board what is the most important in these communities when they bring projects to us. Do we fund buildings? Do we fund community centers? Do we fund all of these kind of things? Are water lines more important than a community center? Is a sewer line more important than a fairgrounds project? Is what are the most important things that we need to be funding if we're going to have limited revenue, and it's going to go down? Somewhere along the line, we need to make a decision. What are the higher priorities, and what are the ones that maybe aren't quite as high?
Jay?
And my comment really does follow up on what Bruce has said, because when we consider bringing up the road issue and so forth, when, again, we talk about mitigation and we talk about impact, we talk about really what the cost is of moving the product that funds this board and into the state. And so I would hope that, again, in roads, that we would maybe take a look at what is the transportation need and what is the cost associated with an oil tanker. In our county, we have what's called Ridge Road, which is a major haul point for not only coal but also the oil that comes out of the basin. And I've been told that, according to UDOT studies, that one double tanker is the equivalent of 5,000 cars. That's the kind of wear and tear, and UDOT gave us back that road. So we have that opportunity now that we have to fund and repair a road that services multiple counties within it. That's the kind of road projects, in my opinion, that we need to. I think the message that I hope that we're sending back is to the state, and I know how their funding cycle and so forth works, but there has to be some other solution than just us doing all the little roads in the communities, because every one of us in our counties have the Tridells and the Wellingtons and those communities that just plain simply cannot keep their roads up. And it will absorb everything that this board would ever generate just to simply do roads. So I understand what you're saying. But the other thing, and when I talked with Commissioner Bushman in regards to Paiute and Marysville and their roads, there were some savings that were spent on trying to treat roads there. That was an absolute disaster. And the question of why are they going back to gravel? Because they spent their savings, they spent their maintenance money on a treatment that did not work. And that's an engineering and a design and so forth process that goes through it. So, yeah, I'm glad we can help them. But we've got to be considerate of rail transportation roads and pipelines and those kind of things that moves the product, or we're going to be isolated as an inland state. I mean, it's just so critical to the future of what the state is.
I just have to say one more thing, and I not to belabor this, but I get a little concerned when we try to tell a city or a community or a SSD what they can afford and how they have to spend their money. I mean, in the case of Grand County, we gave them a proposal. It was exactly what we'd done in other jails, but they came back and said, we can't afford it. We didn't say, sorry, this is how we've done jails. This is what it's going to be. Marysville got a proposal. They came back and said, we just can't. So for us to say, you should take $10,000 of your money and do it, I don't think that's our place. I think that's their local government's decision, and I hate to see us go in that direction where we try to second guess their local government and their leadership and tell them how they have to spend their money. So that's just my two cents.
And I'll follow up with that, then maybe we need to vote our consciences in the future.
Commissioner McKee and then Mr. Zanotti.
I was going to say a very similar comment to Claudia's. I think within our communities, the thing that's difficult here, sometimes we try and say, well, here's the priorities of the board. But let's take County X. You might say, and I know it doesn't exactly work this way, but in a sense has so many credits. You know, if that community feels like, and let's just say they felt like that a really good recreation project is what was the most important thing to them, you know, I think that's kind of community leaders. You know, we need to give some deference to that. The problem we have is we're all aware of this. We're on our different AOGs. And there's a lot of projects that come in. And so this board is asked, well, rate the projects. The problem is, how many projects does staff see that are rated low when they come back? I mean, if they're rated low, so everything's high priority. And then, you know, at the AOGs, nobody wants to sort out and say, well, I think my project's really a good one, but yours is a bad one. So they just come here, and then we have to sort that out. And so it is. I think it is very difficult for us because I do believe the community. I agree with Claudia. I think really the communities, in a sense, can have certain things. But I do believe somehow we have to sort that out because maybe one community, the thing they do really need is a recreation. Maybe they've got a lot of crime. Maybe they've got all kinds of things going on there. And a rec project is exactly what they need for their youth. But I don't know the answer to it. I just know it's difficult.
Mr. Zanotti?
As a new member of this board, I'm kind of confused about our needs and wants, the definition of it. When I received the call, well, not the call, but the appointment to serve on the board, the first thing I received was the Christmas package from Candace. It was 200 pages of some sort to read. So I called Chairman Walker at the time. I said, can you just give me some direction what I need to do in order to serve effectively? He says, in that package, Christmas package he referred to, there's a book. He called it CIB, and as a Community Impact Board, he called them Community Impact Bible. He said, read all about it. Definitions are there. I'm not going to babysit you. So if we just follow that book, we don't have to even bother our legal counsel every 5 minutes, because in my humble opinion, even though my English is not that well, I'm still working on after 45 years. Definitions are all there. If we just follow that definition of that Bible about our job, our assignments, our needs and wants, and what we need to fund actually from this board. I just don't think we should debate so much about who needs and what is the wants. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. I appreciate everyone's comments. Just to Chairman's prerogative for a minute. We come from different corners of the state. We come from different backgrounds. We sit on different boards. But when we sit here around this table, we represent the Community Impact Board Fund, and that's a permanent fund. And the analogy has been made before that we act as bankers. And so, yes, we bring our experience, we bring our perspective, we bring our bias. We all wear our different lenses and hats. But we're tasked with allocating funds. In my opinion, we don't control what the applicants ask for. That is their decision. They come, but it is your money, in a sense. That's your responsibility. Your fiduciary responsibility as a board member is to look out for the Community Impact Fund. And we all share that responsibility. And so we decide how those funds are allocated and for what. And I think if we have the type of discussions that we have always had and we bring our experience to bear on these things and we are open and frank but respectful, we will make the right decisions as we have always done. I have the utmost respect for this board and for this fund, for the staff, and for each of you. These are very difficult decisions. This money is critically important to this state and to its citizens. And these discussions are healthy, and I appreciate everyone's opinion and perspective. And I appreciate the service and the homework and everything that goes into it. But it is important that we continue forward as a board and remember that, you know, this is the Permanent Community Impact Fund, and that's what we do. And, you know, I have no doubt that we will continue to do it well, that we'll continue to have these conversations because they're healthy, and that's how we stay online, you know, and it keeps us on track. And so we'll just continue forward, and I think we'll all go back and ponder. Some may even pray, but at the end of the day, we will do the right thing. My confidence is very high. There was one last item on our agenda. It was a revised agenda, which is why it kind of snuck up on me. But it's the yellow thing. It's a memorandum from Candace. And the first couple pages are just reiterating what was in the minutes. The last part of it on the, is that the third page? Talks about some considerations and discussion items. And basically, we've approved a number of projects into the infrastructure set aside that are contingent on certain things. In good faith, this board said we'll set aside money for this project, but all of these questions need to be answered. Those questions have never been documented. There's been numerous discussions over the past 6 months about how that's all going to happen, you know, and who's responsible for that. Again, the board is responsible for that. It's not staff. And so, but being the wonderful and excellent people they are, the staff put together a list of things that remain to be answered on some of these projects. So if you'll look that over, and if you have things to add to that list, that would be very nice. And before we close on any of these major infrastructure projects, they will have to come back to the board. Those answers will have to be provided, and the board will have to vote that they want to move forward with the funding that was set aside. Any questions or discussion on that?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ellis.
I appreciate that, and I think the suggestions that are there are helpful. I think going forward as a board, though, we need to make sure we have criteria established before we even hear any applications on major infrastructure projects to make sure we've got a complete package when it comes to us, because the idea is we'll set aside pretty significant amounts of money that otherwise could be funding local projects. In some ways, as the actions of the board today, in my opinion, said we don't plan on hearing any major infrastructure projects nor funding any major infrastructure projects in the foreseeable future, which could be 2, 3, 4, or 5 years, because we didn't do any action to set aside enough money to make a project. When you think of these major infrastructure projects, they're going to require $30 or $40 or $50 million commitments by the board, and we're not going to have that money available to commit unless we start thinking about, are we going to set it aside now? So for me, it's now, if the policy seems to be we're not that concerned about it. But if a project does come forward and there are better times in the future, I think that we definitely need to have criteria in place to hear these. And is there a cap? Do we have a $50 million cap on how much the board would commit to? They need to have all their permitting and those kinds of things in place. I think there's lots of different type of criteria we could establish before we even hear these, in addition to the things that have been listed in the discussion that you've referenced earlier, before we close on these packages to make sure everything that's there. And so I have some suggestions that I will share with staff and discuss with staff that can be brought to the board at a future time for greater discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Yes, if you'll send those to either myself or staff, we'll make sure that those get distributed to the board for discussion at a future meeting. That's an excellent suggestion.
Mr. Chairman, could we have these in advance of a meeting?
Yes, we'll send them out before so that there's time to review and consider. Thank you. Commissioner McKee?
Mr. Chairman, I think one other thing that might be helpful as staff and and our planning group is preparing for our meeting, our next meeting. We recently just put together an energy conference, and we had you know, projections. We had a lot of information that came from industry as far as what they're believing. There's one presentation particularly, though, I think might be helpful to this board, and Richard might have some of this information himself, but I believe there was 20 different companies as they do the hedging, you know, as their projections, as they move forward with oil and gas and what those go for the next, you know, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, realizing that markets can be whatever they are, but these are the people that are professionally hedging, placing money, you know, the experts in the field is where they believe those prices will be. Now, what we saw there, if it is an uptick as we move forward here. But I think that's valuable as we do forward projecting for this board because it's very much commodity priced. And I think, you know, there's a slide from that that might be valuable to our group as we look at maybe short term and then we look out a little bit longer term. I think that would be very valuable information.
That's an excellent point. And while we're speaking about the Rural Planning Group, I know that half of that group has spent the last couple weeks out in the Uinta Basin talking to a variety of people, including a lot of the industry experts, and are preparing to do a presentation that would be available at our next meeting. They've kind of imposed a deadline to have that ready, so hopefully they will have that ready and will coincide very nicely with what we're asking for here. Is that correct, Mr. Hansen? He's nodding yes. He's working out now. So thank you. That's excellent. Excellent idea.
If they would like that information, those slides, they're available.
Okay, that might be wise. So our next meeting is in Moab, and please remember to fill out your reservation sheet and give that back to a member of staff. And if there's no other business, we will accept a motion to adjourn.
I have one.
Nope. Yes.
And Candace already knows this, but I would like to suggest, and we would be glad to host the CIB for a retreat in Monticello next summer at our wonderful community center.
I think we're one step up on you. Duchesne had offered to host it in their event center. When we heard it was going to Price this year, we volunteered to host it.
We volunteered before Price.
Oh.
The arm wrestling will commence at the table in the middle.
We have a brand new conference center in Vernal, Utah.
That's an amazing conference.
That, you know, somewhere along the line, we need to have a CIB meeting. We need to have something that CIB board members can come out, and let's have a meeting out there.
Sounds like we're taking the show on the road.
Sounds like it.
I tried to get it this year, but I was told no. We were ready.
Candace will be in touch with each of you about hosting a future CIB meeting. Appreciate that. Is there a motion to adjourn? We have a motion and another motion, so meeting adjourned. Thank you all. Appreciate your
Thank
service.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis.